Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, Text Number 25. Srinam cha pati devanam tat chu shu shanu kulata tad bandush panu vritischa nityam tad vratat dharanam Srinam of women. You don't like that word. Srinam of women. Cha also. Pati Devanam. Who have accepted their husbands as worshipable. Tat Shushusha. Readiness to render service to their husband. Anukulata. Being favorably disposed towards her husband. Tat bandushu. Unto the friends and relatives of the husband. Anuriti. Being similarly disposed. To treat them well for the satisfaction of the husband. Cha and Nityam regularly. Tat Rata Dharanam. Accepting the vows of the husband or acting exactly as the husband acts. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, to follow the vows of the husband, these are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. Prabhupada. It is very important for peaceful householder life that a woman follow the vow of her husband. Any disagreement with the husband's vows will disrupt the family life. In this regard, Chanaka Pandit gives a very valuable instruction. Dampatyo kalaho nasti tatra stri swayam agataha. When there are no fights between the husband and the wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home. A woman's education should be conducted along the lines indicated in this verse. The basic principle for a chaste woman is to be always favorably disposed toward her husband. In Bhagavad Gita 1:40 it is said, Strishu dustasu varshneya jayante varna sankara. If the women are polluted, there will be Varna Sankara population. In modern terms, the Varna Sankara are the hippies who do not follow any regular injunctions. Hippies still exist or not here in Slovenia? What's that? There are more hippies? Oh, they're even more degraded than hippies. Another explanation is that when the population is Varna Sankara, no one can know who is on what platform. The Varnashram system scientifically divides society into four Varnas and four Ashrams. But in Varna Sankara society, there are no such distinctions, and no one can know who is who. In such a society, no one can distinguish between a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, and a Shudra. Peace and happiness in the material world, the Varnashram institution must be introduced. The symptoms of one's activities must be defined, and one must be educated accordingly. And spiritual advancement will automatically be possible. strinam chapati devanam tad chushu shanu kulata tad bandushpanu vritischa nityam chatad vrata dharanam. To render service to the husband, be always favorably disposed towards the husband, be equally well disposed towards the husband relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. The common factor in all the varna as in ashrams is to develop the attitude of service. Since everyone wants to imagine that they're not a servant, but they're being served, therefore, then varnashram seems like it's a very difficult institution to accept. Generally, it's known as the caste system. Mm-hmm. You were born into a certain caste, and when you try to get out of the caste, they cast you back into the caste. You can't get out of the caste. You're blocked. You're a sudra forever and ever and ever. And the whole idea is, as you go up the ladder, then you can exploit the lower classes more. Although they're all the same mentality, they're all less than shudras, still, somehow or another, by hook or crook, you become a vaishya or a kshatriya or a brahmin, and then you can exploit the lower the classes below you. But here we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole idea of vanashram is to develop an attitude, a practical attitude of service. Just as there can only be one God, there are no competing gods, and that everyone is a servant of Krishna. Jivara Surpahoy, Krishnara Nityadas. And therefore everyone is a servant of Krishna, and Krishna happens to be everywhere. Sarva Bhuta Stamatmanam, Sarva Bhuta Nichatmani, Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma, Sarvatra Samadarshana. That the true yogi observes me in all beings, and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamayi Pashyati, Tasyaham Na Pranashami, Na Chamem Na Pranashyati. And for one who can see me everywhere, and can see everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. In other words, we're trying to come to the platform of seeing Krishna in the heart of all living entities, and that this material energy is also Krishna's energy, and that everyone is actually, in one respect or another, a representative of Krishna. Sarvatapani panam tat, sarvatashri shiromukam, Sarvata Shutimaloke Sarma Vritti Tishyate. Everywhere Krishna's hands and his legs and his eyes and faces. In this way exists everywhere. In this way the super soul exists everywhere, pervading everything. So where are those eyes and legs? Where are they? Does anyone know where all those eyes and Krishna says, everywhere are my hands and legs and faces. Where are those? Hands, legs, eyes, and faces. Hidden away, subtle, or where are Govindada? Where are those hands, legs, eyes, and faces? Yeah, he certainly has eyes. Anywhere else? Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma has hands and legs and eyes everywhere. No, these hands and legs that we think are ours, they're actually belong to Krishna. These are not our hands and legs, we're just renting this place. The actual proprietor is Krishna. So these are Krishna's eyes, these are Krishna's faces, these are Krishna's hands. But we think they're ours, and therefore we become deluded. We think, well, these are mine and these are yours and etc., etc. But actually they all belong to Krishna in a practical way. Prakrite kriyamanaini gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti magnite. The bewildered soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities, which are actually carried out by the material nature, the three modes of material nature. We think, I'm moving my hands, I'm moving my eyes, I'm talking, I'm doing this and that. But actually, it's all Krishna is doing the whole thing. So what part do we have to play in the whole thing? Do we have any part to play? Lalita Govinda, what is our part? Are we just sitting there like a dead stone and everything's going on by Krishna is doing everything? What's that? That's all right. That's what we're supposed to do. What about everyone else? Are they just sitting there like a dead stone and Krishna is doing everything through his material nature? What part do we have to play?
You must be engaged.
What's that?
You must be engaged in the process.
No, but what about the ordinary people? What part do they play in their activities? Back to Dennis. Yes, they're desiring.
Enjoy.
No. They're desiring, and Krishna can understand the flavor of the flavor of their desire. It's like one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. So Krishna senses our desire, and then through his material nature, he orders material nature to arrange our activities according to what we deserve. But all we're doing is desiring, and everything else is being performed by Krishna. But everyone in the material world is trying to be something that they're not. Nowadays, men are trying to become women, and women are trying to become men. Or animals, whatever, you know, there's no... Kali Yuga has become so degraded, there's no limit to what you may try to imitate. But a woman actually has a certain mentality, a man, by nature in general, has a certain mentality. They have a certain body. And along with the body, there's a certain mentality that goes with it. As a matter of fact, because of the mentality at the time of leaving our body, we get a certain next body. It's not by accident. It's not that you have the mentality of a demigod and you wind up as being a dog. Or if you have the mentality of a dog, you wind up being a demigod. It doesn't work like that. Krishna knows exactly what our mentality is, and he brings us to exactly the right material nature, prepares a perfect body to fit our mentality. So everyone is trying to be the Lord. Everyone is trying to become the Purusha, although everyone is Prakriti. So we take the position of Prakriti in relation to Krishna, then the result is we become liberated from our false identification. So the only question is how we're going to serve. So it's not that the women, they're the only ones who serve and everyone else is being served. Everyone is a servant. If a woman gets married, then the man is expected to go out and make money. So that's also service and provide for the family. And the woman has her duties as service. It's all service. It's not that there's some class that becomes the master and everyone else becomes a servant. Everyone is servant. That's our dharma, Sanatana Dharma. To serve, how we're going to serve, that depends upon us and it's best according to our psychophysical nature. If you have the mentality of a painter, then the result is you should not become a military officer. It just doesn't fit. Prabhupada used to say, the problem with the war, like in Vietnam, is that the Americans, they sent Shudras to act as Kshatriyas. So they spent the whole time, most of them spent the time just getting intoxicated. Because they didn't have the mentality of fighting. India, they trained up a class of people, generation after generation, like the Gurkhas, or who are the other ones, the Gurkhas, who are the other Kshatriyas? The Sikhs are Kshatriyas. And there's some other. What's that? The Rajputs are Kshatriyas. So there's classes of people who have been trained up in a certain mentality, in a certain activity, a certain... And therefore it's natural for them. If we have to go and fight in a war, it wouldn't be very natural because we haven't been trained for it. The only thing that nowadays people are trained for is fight video games. The only thing they can kill I mean, is something that's moving virtually on a screen. That's the capacity they have. Therefore, if you're going to get, but this is a useless occupation. It doesn't do anything for anyone. Occupations are meant for a specific purpose, ultimately perform sacrifice for Vishnu, and the minimum result is just get enough food so we can survive. But the maximum result is spiritual advancement. So therefore, Prabhupada says at the end of here, that if one actually fulfills the duties as a servant in that particular varna or ashram, then the result is that there's a possibility to spiritually advance. Because spiritual advancement is internal. But external activities may manifest our mentality, but still, they may not. Spiritual advancement means that we accept the fact that we're servants and we serve Krishna's instructions. Now, for a woman to serve a husband, the husband is supposed to be Krishna's representative. As Maharaja Shabdev said, Guror na sesyat, pita na sesyat, swajani na sesyat, pati na sesyat, daivam na sesyat, na patim na sesyat, nimochya kyaksu petu mrityum. That one should not become a father, a mother, one should not become a relative, one should not become a worshipful deity, one should not become a husband, unless one is prepared to deliver the dependence from birth and death. So nowadays, women don't want to serve husbands, and husbands don't want to serve women, because none of them are representatives of Krishna. They're just interested in sense gratification. People have rejected religion as useless because they think that sense gratification is the goal of life. That's how they've been trained up. Previously, there was practically in most civilized countries, there was no such thing as divorce because there was some aspect of religiosity there, some aspect which gave me some idea that one has some duties to perform to the husband, to the wife, to the family. But now there's only duties to gratify my senses, and at the end of life, there is no karma, so it makes no difference what I do in this lifetime because I won't get any reaction for my activities. When I leave my body, I just disappear, and therefore all my good and bad activities mean nothing. Some people have been so badly trained, they think the animals came about by accident, therefore they can do whatever they want with them. Everyone has come about by accident, so they're free to exploit everyone. Unless they develop some affection for their dog and therefore they serve their dog. Oh, Fido, ooh, I love you. Everyone else is just, even Fido they think they want to exploit. But everyone is just in this mentality of exploitation. Hardly anyone is trained up to be a servant. Servant is a bad word. When you have nothing else, no other occupation you could possibly do, then you become a servant. But the service attitude towards Krishna, at least, is very much different from the service attitude towards the material energy or the representatives of people who are just exploiting their own senses, and they utilize you to exploit their senses too. But service to Krishna as representative requires to actually see who is actually Krishna and who is his representatives. So previously, husbands were trained up not to exploit their wives, but to bring them to Krishna consciousness. Parents were trained to bring their children to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, they send them to the Gurukul, and the teachers of Gurukul, Sandipani Muni, they were trained up just to train the children to become Krishna conscious. Everyone had the same service attitude towards Krishna, or was developing it, and therefore it was possible to develop that attitude, whoever one might be. The services externally may be different, but the attitude of service was developed, it was the same, service to Krishna. And therefore, by proper service, one would think about Krishna. Therefore, it says that the chaste woman will get this similar, well, the same credit, spiritual credit that her husband did, because by serving him, she would also get the opportunity to remember Krishna. If he was cultivating Krishna consciousness, then she would also cultivate Krishna consciousness just naturally by service. To think about Krishna is not so extraordinarily difficult that only some kind of erudite person can do it. Now, everyone in the Vedic culture could think about Krishna. Even the Brahmin who heard that if you simply sit and meditate upon Krishna, even if you didn't have any means to do it externally, you had no money, no resources, but you simply do it by manasapuja. So he'd sit down for many, many years and perform pranayama and control his mind and then meditate upon bringing water from the Ganges, from the Saraswati, from the Jamuna, from Kuveri, and golden and silver water pots. He bathed the deities. He dressed the deities. He decorated the deities. He cooked food for the deities, all in his manasapuja. And then one day he was cooking sweet rice in his mind for the deities, but he didn't have time to cool the sweet rice, and therefore he wanted to see how hot it was. And he put his finger in the sweet rice, and his finger got burnt. So in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan was laughing, and the Lakshmi was wondering, why is Lord Narayan laughing? And so he called for a Vaikuntha airplane. In the meantime, the Brahmin took his finger out of the pot of sweet rice, and saw it actually had become burnt because he woke up. And then the Vaikuntha airplane came and took him back to the spiritual world. And then Lord Narayan explained to the Lakshmis what had happened. So everyone has that opportunity to think about Krishna. It's not so difficult. Previously people would perform duties throughout the whole day, especially farming. Most people are farmers. And at night they go and see some drama about Krishna. And so Prabhupada said they go asleep and dream about Krishna. So somehow or another, yena tena pakarena mana Krishna nisevaya. Somehow or another remember Krishna, but that's possible if one is actually serving Krishna and his representatives. Otherwise, how can one actually remember Krishna with devotion? If one is, throughout the whole day, one is acting in such a way as a competitor of Krishna, and then for 2 hours or whatever we try to become Krishna's servant, it just won't work. One has to develop that attitude. And part of that, one has to know what one's duties are. So this idea that women are the same as men or we're in a different age. No, women have the same biological functions. Men have the same biological functions in every age. Women produce children. And therefore, if they produce them in the right consciousness, if their husband and wife are in the right consciousness, they get children who can become spiritually inclined. And therefore they would actually serve their old parents. They'd become dutiful. Nowadays, the children brought up like dogs and cats, and the parents can't understand why when they get old, they did so much service to their children, why their children just put them into an old age home. They don't want to be bothered with them. Because that's how they've been trained. They've been trained to be devoid of any kind of sense of duty and appreciation, any kind of obligation. And therefore they treat their parents and every other living entity in the same way. So even from the practical point of view, if parents want to have children who will take care of them, they have to actually train them in the proper mentality. They have to train them to become dutiful. Otherwise it won't be possible. What to speak of becoming dutiful to Krishna and making spiritual progress. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
You mentioned that if one has a consciousness of a pig, he can't be a demigod, or vice versa.
I mentioned dog, I think.
Dog.
Pig I don't know about, but dog I know.
Okay.
Pig, dog.
Better.
I'm sure pig applies to it too.
What about King Indra, when he, about the story, when he became pig, and then the next, they call him back, and he refused. Can this happen also in our life? Like, can we go mistrack, or how to say?
Yeah, of course it can happen. Or, it can happen to Indra, why not us? Bharat Maharaj became a deer.
Yeah.
So what to speak of our little selves? If you really want to become a pig, Krishna will give you the opportunity. Or a dog, or whatever else. Difficult, but it's possible. You have to try real hard. But then we see when the devotees usually leave the Hare Krishna movement, they get more involved in sense gratification than the ordinary materialists. Because it becomes difficult to forget Krishna. So they have to drown themselves in sense gratification to believe that they're actually the enjoyers. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.